Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Thank you. Madam Speaker, Mr. Leader, members of Congress, fellow Texans, distinguished guests, Dr. and Mrs. DeBakey, I'm honored to join you on this day of celebration. Throughout our nation's history, the Congressional Gold Medal has been awarded sparingly in recognition of the tremendous accomplishments that it takes to earn this high honor. Recipients of this medal who have come from the world of science are few, but they are iconic. They include Thomas Edison, Walter Reed, and Jonas Salk. Today we gather to recognize that Michael DeBakey's name belongs among them. I appreciate the members of the Texas delegation, Senator Hutchison, Representative Green, and others who sponsored this legislation. As the Chancellor Emeritus of the Baylor College of Medicine and the Director of the DeBakey Heart Center, Dr. DeBakey has given the citizens of the great state of Texas one more reason to be proud. It's a good thing, too, because we're usually such a quiet bunch, unassuming people. In the year that Michael DeBakey was born, Theodore Roosevelt sat in the White House. Henry Ford produced the first Model T automobile. And the average American's life expectancy was a little more than 51 years. That last point is worth noting, because the number today is nearly 78 years. Our lifetimes have been extended by more than 50% within the course of a century, and the man we're honoring today is part of the reason why. It was Hippocrates, the author of the Doctor's Sacred Oath, who said, "Wherever the art of medicine is loved, there also is a love of humanity." Truer words could not be spoken of Michael DeBakey. Growing up in the small town of Lake Charles, Louisiana, he learned the power of compassion at the early age. Every Sunday, as the speaker noted, Michael's parents and siblings would load the family car with clothes and food for children who lived in an orphanage on the outskirts of town. One weekend, the donations included one of his favorite ball caps. When Michael complained, his mother simply told him, "You have a lot of caps. Those children have none." It's a lesson they never forgot, and Michael DeBakey has been given to the world ever since. The other gift that Dr. DeBakey's parents gave him was the love of learning. In fact, young Michael's mother and father required their children to check a book out of the library every week. One week, Michael returned home frustrated, and he told his father that he had found a fascinating book, but that the librarians refused to lend it to him. The book was actually a part of a series called the Encyclopedia Britannica. And when his father bought the set for him, Michael read every word of every article and every volume. The charitable spirit and disciplined mind that Michael developed in his youth have lasted throughout his life. It was his selflessness that caused him to volunteer for World War II, even though he was a successful surgeon and professional. It was his intellect that caused him to develop the idea of the MASH unit during his service. It was his power of his mind that led him to become one of the pioneers of the heart transplant bypass surgery and the artificial heart. And it was his sense of compassion that led him to help create a magnet school in Houston for young people pursuing careers in science. It's been nearly 40 years since President Lyndon B. Johnson awarded Dr. DeBakey the Presidential Medal of Freedom. At that point, four decades ago, he had already proved himself to be one of the great scientific minds of his generation. In the years since, his status is being reaffirmed by many honors he has received, including the National Medal of Science, induction into the Healthcare Hall of Fame, a Lifetime Achievement Award from the United Nations, and a Living Legend Citation from the Library of Congress. But I was most interested in another distinction. It is this, that Dr. DeBakey was the first foreign physician made an honorary member of the Russian Academy of Sciences. It took quite an act to get into the Russian Academy of Sciences. All it took was him saving the life of a president. In 1996, only 5 years after the Cold War ended, Dr. DeBakey traveled to Moscow and arranged Boris Yeltsin's quintuple bypass. President Yeltsin spoke for many of Dr. DeBakey's patients when he called him a man with a gift of performing miracles. Dr. DeBakey has an impressive resume, but his truest legacy is not inscribed on a medal or etched into stone. It is written on the human heart. His legacy is the unlost hours with family and friends who are still with us because of his healing touch. His legacy is grandparents who live to see their grandchildren. His legacy is holding the fragile and sacred gift of human life in his hands and returning it unbroken. For nearly 100 years, our country has been blessed with the endless talents and dedication of Dr. Michael DeBakey. And he has dedicated his career to a truly noble ambition, bettering the life of his fellow men. So Dr. DeBakey, on behalf of all those you've healed and those you've inspired, we thank you. May God bless you. And now I ask the speaker and Senator Reed to join me for the gold medal presentation.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Michael Ellis DeBakey.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Members of Congress, Mr. President, members of Congress, members of the administration, and the trustees and faculty members of Baylor College of Medicine that are here, I want to thank you for coming and help me enjoy the day together. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking extemporaneously, but let me assure you that I realize I need to be succinct, and I will be. My first thought, of course, is to express my deep-seated and humble sense of gratitude for this high honor you've accorded me. As a child growing up in Southwest Louisiana, my parents repeatedly emphasized to us as children how important it was and how we had to be so thankful in being citizens of the United States of America. My parents immigrated to this country as children from Lebanon, grew up in this country, were educated in this country, and flourished in this country. And so we had, as children, almost everything you needed to have. But the most important thing our parents thought we should have was a good education. And for example, they urged us to get any book from the library at least once a week and read it. I came home one day and told them I found a very good book, but they wouldn't let you borrow it. You had to read it in the library. And my father wanted to know what it was, and I said, it's called the Encyclopedia Britannica. He promptly bought us that. And both my brothers and sisters and I would rush through our lessons to get a little time with the Encyclopedia Britannica, because it was an entire new adventure, and we enjoyed it so much. And I, as well as my brothers and sisters, had read the entire Encyclopedia Britannica by the time we got to college. So when I got to college at Tulane, I was probably the best educated freshman on campus. But I wanted to also illustrate that one of the other things that I learned, a great lesson, from my parents was compassion. We had an orphanage in Lake Charles, and every Sunday we would go out after church to visit the orphanage, and my mother would cook things and repair our clothes that we had outgrown to give up to the orphanage. And one Sunday she was packing the things to go out there, and she packed a cap that I liked, and I protested. She reminded me that I had a new cap, and that I had parents to give me a new cap, and the child that was going to get my old cap didn't. I have never lost that lesson. I carried it with me the rest of my life. Now, I want to make a suggestion to the Congress about health care. I know that you have been working on this for many, many years. In fact, I was one of President Kennedy's strongest supporters when he came out with Medicare, when the medical profession was strongly against it. I thought it was a great idea. I still don't think it's a great idea. Unfortunately, its practical effect has not been that great. So I know that you have sought a better health care program for the needy. And unfortunately, it's been elusive. But there is a model that you should look at that I'm thoroughly familiar with, because when I was in the military, I was assigned by the Surgeon General to the committee that Bradley and Hawley worked on in fixing up the Veterans Administration. And we made many suggestions that resulted in a superb medical service. And I've been familiar with the medical service of the Veterans Administration since then. In fact, I developed that research program. I assure you that you cannot find a better model. For one thing, its quality of care is superior. And for another, it provides that care at half the cost of other agencies, both in and out of government. So you see how efficient it is. So there must be something about what they're doing that we can use to expand our program in health care for the needy. And finally, let me say that I want to extend to the Congress my warm commendation for their understanding and their support of medical research. You have completely turned around 180 degrees the lackluster medical enterprise of this country when I graduated. At that time, if you wanted to proceed in a research program, you had to go to Europe to get additional training. And I went to the University of Strasbourg for a year and to the University of Heidelberg for a year. That has been completely reversed. The Europeans and other foreign people come to this country now to get that training because it's superior to any training in the world. And they also come to this country to get special medical service because that's superior to anything in the world. That's all come about since the 1950s when Congress first started supporting medical research. And it really started with Senator Lister Hill. And I had the good fortune to work with him on many of his projects, especially those associated with research activities here in Bethesda. You have no idea what you've done with medical research in improving the medical care of this country. It is the envy of the world. And I hope you will continue to give it the consideration you've given it so far. Again, let me come back to my sense of gratitude. And because of my sense of high treasure I have for my citizenship, since receiving this award, my cup runneth over. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please remain standing as Reverend Barry Black gives the benediction.
Let us pray. O King, Helper, Savior, and Shield, the giver of every good and perfect gift, you favor humanity with knowledge and teach mortals understanding. Thank you for the gift of this medical pioneer, Dr. Michael Ellis DeBakey. We praise you, Lord, for the many lives saved because of his willingness to be a faithful steward of the abilities with which you entrusted him. Because of the faithfulness of Dr. DeBakey, bless and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lift the light of your countenance upon us and give us your peace. We pray in the name of him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today as we honored Congressional Gold Medal recipient Dr. Michael Ellis DeBakey. Please remain standing for the departure of the official party.